Good evening. It's good to have you back with us this evening on Resurrection Sunday. If you would, the book of Luke chapter 24. But Luke chapter 24 will begin at verse 8. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, for the blessing that it is to us. Thank you, Lord, for the words that talk about the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection. And Lord, now this one story of these two people who had the great privilege of having just a fantastic personal Bible study with the Word of God, with Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and with thanksgiving, amen. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Now, there's much speculation as to who the two were. One is named, the other is not. Some want to believe it was Peter, but I don't think so because of the fact that they went, we're going to read a little bit later, and went and told the 11, which would presume mean that he was not one of the two. Some have thought it was Luke since it's in his gospel. But whoever the other one is, it was a privilege they would never, ever forget. And it says, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Now, that's about 7 miles. Now, you ponder this. They're going to walk this 7 miles with Jesus. And then later, they're going to walk those same 7 miles back to talk to the disciples. Well, they were used to walking. How would you like to walk 14 miles in a day? But notice verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. What a fantastic time this is going to be. Though they don't realize it at the moment, who this third person is, those two would never ever forget this journey on the road to Emmaus. We find that Jesus drew near. May I say this, it's a good time to walk with Jesus anytime. You can do it singing songs, you can do it praying, you can even do it, if you could, walking and reading your scriptures, though I probably wouldn't recommend that. Though I have seen people at the park, even on rollerblades, looking at their phones. I must admit, I'm kind of skeptical of doing that myself. But they didn't know who it was. Wasn't who it was. But notice verse 17, and he said unto them, that being Jesus, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Many of you have lost loved ones in the last year, two or three. And it's a sad time when you lose a loved one or a friend. And Jesus, I would think, would have been more than a friend. I mean, can you imagine walking with someone who fed people by the thousands, who healed people by the hundreds and probably thousands? What an amazing time. And we're going to read what they thought about Jesus in just a moment. But why are you so sad? Verse 18, and one of them whose name was Cleopas. Now, his wife was one of the women at the cross. But here we find one was named Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Don't you know what's been happening? How that he came in and there was the triumphal entry, and they were excited and praising him and shouting all the words of encouragement to him. And then things changed. And then we know that there was a trial and another trial and another trial, and he was beaten and then he was crucified. You don't know what's happened? And verse 19 continues, And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our elders delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So the two of them begin to tell Jesus. And you know how it is when somebody asks a question and there's two of you and you're both excited to tell what is happening. And I don't know if it was just one of them talking or if it was Cleopas and the other both going back and forth describing the things. And they said it was Jesus of Nazareth, a mighty prophet. He had the word of God. And well, to be quite honest, nobody ever spoke like him. And the chief priests and the elders, they came and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and they crucified him. What a terrible way to have to die. They crucified him and, oh, we had trusted it had been he which would redeem Israel. And the fact of the matter is that many Jews today are still looking for the Messiah to come and redeem Israel. But Jesus came the first time to save our souls. He'll come again, in which he'll set up his kingdom. But we find at this time, he came to save our souls because that was of great importance. And we find that that some of the people went to the sepulcher, and he wasn't there. He wasn't there. And some of our people went to see. Peter and John went, and you may remember reading about that, how they both went. John could run faster and he got to the sepulcher first, but he didn't go in. Well, you know, Peter, as soon as he got to the sepulcher, he went right in. And of course, the tomb was indeed empty. But let's see what Jesus says now to the story that these two men have told him about all that has happened in the last few days. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, Jesus is going to rebuke them, but just briefly. He then is going to give them a Bible study that is second to none. We find here, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, beginning in the Pentateuch, as he began to talk about maybe even creation, he began to talk about the Exodus from Egypt. He began to talk about different things. And it says here, Moses and the prophets. He's talking, but he's not just going to talk about those things. He's going to talk about himself. Notice he expounded unto them, to them, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. All the prophecies the prophecies about his birth, the prophecies about his life, the prophecies about his death. He began to talk to them about these things and share with them. And it's one of those things where they weren't sleepy. They listened intently. My wife said, and she said I could quote her, that the lesson tonight better be good to keep her awake. Well, hopefully you will keep awake after you've had a big meal today. But he began to talk to them and they listened. You know, you probably had a teacher in junior high or high school or college that you loved to go and hear them talk. They were so good and they always kept you interested in the subject matter. Well, I'm sure they listened intently. And verse 28 says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. Now remember, it's 7 miles. And maybe it passed by very quickly. But they drew nigh, and he made as though he would have gone further or that he would have continued. You know, you have to ask Jesus in. He knocks at the door and asks admittance, but he doesn't knock the door down. You have to invite him into your heart and into your life and into your livelihood. And it says in verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. I do hope that the Lord is a welcome guest at your home. I do hope that you want him to be part of your life, part of your existence. Notice verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, and it says here, with them, he took bread. Now, I've already told you that we had homemade bread today. I was glad that Donna decided she was going to make some homemade bread. You know, there's nothing quite like the smell, the aroma of homemade bread. And she goes, I can't cut it too thin because it's still warm. Well, that's all right. A thick piece of bread is good. And I told her, you know, you could have just made the bread. You know how homemade bread is. It's so good, you just can't get enough. You put a little bit of butter on it. And, well, she put on some honey also. I think she said that it was from Dell, where he gets honey. And she said it was mighty good on that bread. But notice, he sat at meat with them. I wonder what they had. We had ham. May I say this? I guarantee you that Jesus did not have ham. It could have been fish, chicken, maybe roast. We're not sure. But whatever the meat was, he had that in the bread and blessed it and break and gave to them. You find that interesting? He's at their house, but he is now serving them. He's serving them. You know, one thing I have noticed that during this coronavirus issue, I have noticed that the people in the stores have all been very friendly. I've noticed that a lot of people have been very friendly. They'll talk to you. Of course, I think it helps when you have a mask on. They can't see your face too well, so they don't know your reactions. But I've noticed that a lot of people have been very friendly. But he gave the bread. He gave them the meat. And verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. Do you remember when you began to learn how to use your computer? I remember we had WordPerfect first at the church. And, you know, I thought, wow, this is interesting. And so I took some classes. In fact, my mother and I also took some classes, and we were there, and the teacher is giving us instructions, and all of a sudden it began to pop into our minds just exactly what we had to do. And you could move paragraphs here or there, or you could delete things, or if you misspelled a word, it told you. It was fantastic. And, you know, it was like, wow, this is great. Well, can you imagine having Jesus talk to you about the scriptures? No, it's one thing to read maybe a commentary or be under the teaching of a Bible teacher, but it sure would be something to have Jesus Christ telling you exactly what it was all about. And it says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. You think there was some excitement? Do you think they just thought, wow, it's true. He did rise from the grave. It's amazing. I think they probably just would have just thought, this is the greatest thing. And then it says in the end of verse 31, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, that would have been a little bit disappointing. They probably had more things to ask. They probably would have said, now, wait a minute. All this time you're talking to us, why didn't you tell us right off? And then maybe they said a few things like, oh, I can't believe I didn't realize who it was. Have you ever been to a costume party and somebody that you know well, you know they're going to be at the costume party and they come in and they don't make themselves known and people are trying to guess who they are and you should know who they are, but you just don't. Well, I'm sure they felt a little foolish that they didn't know who Jesus was. In verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Didn't our heart burn? Wasn't it just we couldn't get enough? Maybe you've been to a Bible conference, or maybe you've been to a revival service, or maybe you've been to a sermon being preached and you just couldn't get enough. And when they said it was over, you thought, no, not yet. With their hearts burned within them. And it says here, while he opened to us the scriptures. Do you think the scriptures are important? You know, we find in 1 Corinthians 15, a couple of times it talks about that his burial and resurrection was according to the scriptures. The scriptures are important. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end of Revelation, the words are there for a purpose, and they are a blessing to us. Did not our heart burn within us while we talked, or while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, remember, it was getting late. Jesus was going to walk on, and they said, no, you need to come in with us. And so 7 miles, I don't know. But they quickly returned to Jerusalem. They were so excited as to what had happened. Notice again, verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. And them that were with them. Now, that's why I don't believe that Peter was one of the two, because it says that they found the 11 together. And they have great news. Do you ever have some news you just can't wait to tell? You have something that you want to say. You're hoping people are as interested in what you have to say as you wanting to say it. And verse 34 says, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Yes, he is risen. He has risen indeed. And it says here, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. You know, what an exciting time it was for those two people. I wonder how many people they told about that walk. I wonder how many people they went up to and said, let me tell you what we saw and what we heard. Let us tell you. It was so exciting. You know, the fact of the matter is, born-again believers, we have something exciting to talk about. We can talk about Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the one who died for us. And we should be glad of it. We don't serve a dead prophet. We don't serve some idols. No, we serve the risen Savior, the Son of God, and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Verse 36 says, and as they thus spake, now in your mind's eye, the two of them have returned. The 11 are there. There's the others that were also there with them. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. It's Sunday night. They're gathered together. I think it's a great thing to get together on a Sunday night. The fact of the matter is I always enjoy preaching on Sunday night as much or maybe even more than Sunday morning. It's more relaxed and more comfortable. And when two or three together are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. And here he stood in the midst of them. Verse 37 says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. May I say this? One of the greatest reasons to believe in the risen Savior is this, that as the people began to testify of Christ and the church began to grow by leaps and bounds, they would not have been able to do this if they thought their Savior was still in the grave. But because they saw him alive and well and standing in the midst, they could go and proclaim it. It was an exciting time. And it's no wonder that the early church grew the way it did because of the testimonies of those who saw the risen Savior. Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, in a moment, we'll get to verse 41, but don't read it yet. Now, I want you to ponder this thought. In your mind's eye, see the disciples, see those that were with them, see the two that had been walking with him before. And all of a sudden, Jesus is showing you the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet. It had been hard. They knew the pain that he suffered. Being there on the cross, thirsting, the blood dripping on him, the flies flying around, the people mocking and screaming, the tears of his mother and others that were there at the foot of the cross. As you see the feet, of the holes in the feet and the holes in the hands, it had to be at one of those times that was very moving. But notice verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. In verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. All of these things had to happen. It was all part of the plan of redemption, that Christ would come, that the Son of God would come, that he would die on a cross, that he would die, be buried, and rise again the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That is why we send missionaries. That is why we proclaim the truth, because we have been commanded to do so. Beginning at Jerusalem, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, that the word of God may be proclaimed. And ye are witnesses of these things. May I say this? Resurrection Day is an exciting time in the Christian faith as we remember what was done on our behalf. And I believe 2020 will be an exciting remembrance of Resurrection Day. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for all that you do for us. Thank you for this day of remembrance. And Lord, we pray that we would never forget. We pray, Lord, that we would never take it for granted, and that, Lord, it will always be special. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.